it.
2 Timothy chapter 3. Let me start again at 1. I'm picking through the character traits that make things so difficult in the last times. The purpose being that, not that we do these things, but that we be braced against the world's doing of these things. That we not be knocked off our spot. If you go into this Christian life and Christian service thinking that everybody's going to praise you and support that, believers should, but the world will not. And so we are told these things so that we would be braced against these days. Verse 1, 2 Timothy 3. Realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you warn us so that we will be solid, firm, so that we not think something strange has happened when the world does not bend the knee to Christ, and when your gospel is not supported. Lord, we never hear as a solution to these many difficulties our country is facing. We never hear the gospel as a solution, but it's the only one. For many of these things, it's the only one. For all the behavior problems, the gospel is the only solution. The heart issues must be met by the gospel. Lord, we are wanting to know your word and have opportunity to proclaim that. Lord, that will do more than all legislation, all regulation, all of anything that people try to do in the world. Without you, we can do nothing. So I pray, Lord, we would be refreshed and healed in our society by the gospel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As a Southerner, I was born in North Carolina. I still have a Southern accent. I like collard greens and turnip greens, even mustard greens. But not all greens. But as a Southerner, I was, at a very young age, given a weapon. A deadly weapon. I was very, very young, and I didn't even know how to use it. But my dad thought it would be good to have. And so I was given a weapon that was very, very powerful very early. Now, I didn't even know how to use it. And when I started using it, I wasn't very good at it. All I could do with it was, you know, be fascinated with the sound of it. And grown-ups would laugh at me when I fired it because they could hear the sound, but I didn't hit anything with it. After a few years of constant practice, I was finally able to use this dangerous weapon reasonably well. The dangerous weapon I'm referring to is my tongue. One of the most powerful weapons in all the world is concealed and loaded and unlicensed and in our mouths. And every person born, you know, with all normal features of the body have a tongue. And a tongue, as you know, is a very powerful weapon. The man who said, whoever made this up, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never harm me. Got to be the stupidest person of all time. A lot of people, once they've been assaulted by words, would much rather have sticks and stones thrown at them. They hurt a lot less. Solomon said, life and death, actually said death and life, are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life, just like a gun. Death and life, in the power of the tongue. You may never have accidentally discharged a firearm, but I bet you have many times discharged your tongue and caused damage. You probably never wounded a person with a firearm, but I bet you wounded many a person with your tongue. The tongue's danger is dependent really on what fuels it. Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart." The reason we expect certain words from certain people is because we know their heart. And if the heart is not good, then the words will not be good. And a wicked heart and a dangerous weapon like a tongue makes for very difficult times. Now, I say the tongue because we're speaking of, in this sermon, revilers in verse 2 and malicious gossips in verse 3. Sins of the tongue. But most of these types of sins today are spoken by the hands and fingers. Tongue is a metaphor for communication. Whatever you communicate can be speech, where you're using actually your physical tongue to talk, but writing is also covered. Texting, posting on Facebook or Instagram, tweeting, retweeting, making memes, the whole deal. Today, it's the fingers that do a lot of sin with the tongue. You would think that it would not be able to be done as easily because the keyboards on these phones, who can type on these things? My daughter can, I'll text her a question that's a little bit complicated to answer. I barely put the phone down. I got a big long answer back from her. And she doesn't talk at the phone either. It's, I've seen her like that. And it, most of the sins, all the sins of the tongue that we see in the scripture can very well be accomplished without speaking a word through whatever communications device. Phone is using your tongue, but then texting, all that is just as much a use of the tongue. The Bible says the tongue of the wicked, their tongue walks through the earth. Psalm 73:9. The wicked, his tongue walks through the earth. That literally is what happens today. The devil does that, by the way. Remember when the devil came to present himself before the Lord, and the Lord said, "What have you been doing?" He said, "Walking through the earth, going to and fro in it." It's exactly what the devil does. He does what the wicked tongue does, walks through the earth. If you have enough followers, you can say something right now, and it will be, and I happen to know because I've been there, it can be all the way around on the other side of the world in India before you've even put your phone down. Which is good if it's a good word. But if the heart is evil, it's not going to be a good word. Used to be that if you were to gossip, you had to find a fence and a neighbor. And the neighbors were kind of far apart. There was a fence there. And so you had to join the fence. And then you could gossip. Then you had to go back. It was hard to spread it that way. But we know today what the president did hours before he even does it, if you know what I mean. You can say anything you want to say. Start any kind of rumor that you want to start. Lie however you want to lie. Make up any story that you want to make up. And now the communication device or free speech is not the problem. We believe in free speech. I think it should be free. The responsibility is upon us, those of us who have a tongue, who communicate, to do it right. Now, speech is like, words are like the bursting of a dam. Not water, but words piled up behind a barricade. And physically, our tongue is behind our teeth and then behind our lips. You'd think it's like double locked. So you have to open your mouth and part your lips and speak. It's some people see in that God putting it in a box to keep it from getting out really bad, but that's just a physical thing. Paul warned Timothy in the ones we've looked at so far about basically what was behind the dam, the root of evil. What was back there you don't want to get out? Love of self, love of money, and pride. Now, there are outworkings of these things. Boasting, one we looked at last week, is an outworking of pride. What Paul does first is lay that foundation. Mike, I'm not a farmer, but I think corn just doesn't come up by itself. You have to plant it or do something with it and make it come up. Be nice one day to get up at home, look out in the backyard. It's full of a garden of okra and corn and potatoes and without planting anything. But it doesn't happen that way. There's soil and there's seed, and it comes forth. There's outworkings of the seed. And with the tongue, it comes from the heart. And so, like water behind a dam, if the water is controlled and restrained and contained behind the dam, you can do good things with it. You can make electricity from it. You can send water into homes. David can tell us all about that if we ask him. How the water system provides us with many conveniences because it's controlled. But if the water behind the dam gets out, if the dam breaks, the water pours forth unto destruction. A spark is all it takes to set the whole woods on fire. And there's nothing that can stand in its wake. You know, we think of water. If you just hold a glass of water, you don't think of the power that is there. Dams are very solid. Dams are more solid than our mouths. And yet the water gets out. And when that happens, terrible destruction takes place. When a spark, even from a motor, of someone who just drives through dry woodlands will set a forest on fire. So the tongue needs only a little spark and the dam bursts. And once a word is unfitly spoken, it is impossible to unsay it. Have you noticed that about words? You get them out of your mouth and you can't get them back. There are things you say and there it goes. And it won't come back. I don't know how many. I always wonder at this, how people can text a lot and not be constantly sending the text to the wrong people. or saying things and sending it. They didn't mean to say that word, or it changed. You got to watch that, you know. If you use the autocorrect, you might type something in and it come completely out different than what it was. I texted one time and found out I was using foul language, and I was not. And I checked, made sure that would have been a bad thing. But you see, that's the tongue. It is impossible to pull it back in. And so Paul says difficult times will come in the last days. And one of the core difficult times is going to be that men will be, the first word here in verse 2 for today, revilers. A reviler. This is a in your face, direct assault on a person. They revile you. We used to do that in Little League. We reviled each other. That guy can't hit. That guy can't catch. That guy can't pitch. And he's ugly too. We were talking up. People do that. Reviling is an in-your-face assault. The word is the same word that we get blasphemy from. Blasphemy is used more for God. It's the same word when used toward people. It's the same wicked seeking to destroy and demean someone. Someone called me the other day and said, "I just called her." And I said, "No, I'm sorry, I did not." I've had this happen several times. I don't know how that happens. Y'all get that? "Do you just call me?" I said, "No, I didn't." She said, "Yeah, right," and hung up. I was about to say, "Why would I call you?" It is reviling, and it's abusive, insulting, vicious, railing, reproachful, slanderous. All those words fit. And it's driven by hate. The wildfires in California. When is California and Oregon and Washington, when is it not on fire? And the governor of California came out this past week, I think, and said that there's no longer any doubt that man-made climate change is real because there's a forest fire. All of you know, scientifically, that we never had a fire before cars were made. So the governor of California gets out and said, "There's absolutely no doubt now. We can see it. If you're a climate denier, I have no patience with people like you," he said, reviling us. I noticed later in the week, 4 people have been arrested for setting the fires. I guess their names were all, one guy's name was Man, the other's Maid, and Climate and Change. That was it. People start them. And yet, when people start them, science has settled down. The destruction of the tongue is like that starting a fire. And it breaks out and gets out of control. And they don't do the fire breaks like they used to stop these things. Look at Proverbs 26, verse 24. Proverbs has a lot to say about the tongue because it's practical wisdom living the way we should live in righteousness in this world. Proverbs 26, verse 24. "He who hates disguises it with his lips, but he lays up deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously, do not believe him. For there are 7 abominations in his heart. Though his hatred covers himself with guile, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. He who digs a pit will fall into it, and he who rolls a stone, it will come back on him. A lying tongue hates those it crushes, and a flattering mouth works ruin. He who hates disguises it with his lips. He hates, but he flatters. It's the same hateful heart seeking advantage, seeking to destroy, seeking to get up on someone else. Don't believe him when he speaks graciously, verse 25 says. There are seven abominations in his heart. Seven abominations refers, is a poetic means of saying his heart is full of abominations. A lying tongue hates those it crushes. When someone speaks ill of someone and they say, oh, but we love them, you know they're lying. Dwight Stone said, when all the opposition he got as a pastor at church at Grace Bible Church, when he came there, all the opposition he got, all the opposers of him, all the people who railed against him, made sure he knew that they loved him. But we love you, Dwight. But we love you, Dwight. Which means they don't. They didn't. A flattering mouth works ruin. The tongue reviles, it flatters, but its purpose is to destroy. The other word, verse 3, is malicious gossips. Malicious gossips, a gossip is a more behind your back assault, a whisper. The reviler is in your face. The gossip is behind your back. And a gossip talks about your private and personal affairs with others. Did you hear? Did you hear about? When I do it that way, when I say, hey, when I change my volume, I say, did you hear this? What happened? Whew. You listen. Because it's something private. It's slandering in private. It's another way of exalting yourself by demeaning others. But in private. There's no scientific evaluation as to how much gossip is true. It's my go-to default position to not believe gossip. I'm safe that way because I shouldn't have been told it in the first place. And I wouldn't know. But if you don't believe it, it's more likely that you're right, that it's not true. There was an old show, some of you men, I guess, at least know, Have Gun, Will Travel. Have Gun, Will Travel. It was a hired gun. Was it Paladin? He was a hired gun. He had a gun, and he was willing to travel to a job that you pay him for. Have Gun, Will Travel. Well, we all have that in our mouths. And so we have a gun that we want to travel, and a gossip is a person who travels their gun around so that others can benefit or be destroyed by it. I've learned, whenever I've gone to the grocery store, I've learned far more than I want to know about stars. Just looking over at the gossip rags. Woman gives birth to baby with three heads. Did you know that? And people buy it up because of that. A word in the soul of a gossip, they're called tale bearers, also because they spread tales and they bear them, they move them around. A word in the heart of a tale bearer burns and tickles, and they have to get it out. Malicious is added here. Malicious means malice. It means it's hateful. It's motivated by hate. But gossiping itself is wrong. Proverbs 20:19. He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip. Proverbs 18:8. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. They In one case, they can't be held in because they got to be spoken. In the other case, they can't be kept out because they're sweet and delicacy. They're not prunes. You don't attract people. Some of you are going to say, I love prunes. I know that. I get that. But these aren't prunes that are being peddled about. This is candy and popcorn buttered all over. This is something really delightful. And that's the nature of gossip. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:4, an evildoer listens to wicked lips. You know, it's a two-way street. Proverbs 16:28, a perverse man spreads strife. You know, and you've already evaluated this, I'm sure, a lot of the strife that we have today, probably 99% of it has been spread by the tongue, has been spurred by the tongue through Twitter and Facebook or whatever. And it's been talked up, and then people have been ramped up by talk, and people have listened when they shouldn't have. So it's a double sin, speaking and listening. The hearers are responsible not to listen. If you listen to wicked lips, you stand to be placed in the class of an evildoer, because it says an evildoer listens to wicked lips. If you have a loose sword, if you have a six-year-old in your house and a loose sword laying around, you got trouble. I don't think you're going to nap in the living room. You've got trouble. And we have a loose sword all the time in this world. It's being spread by social media. And it's deadly. And it causes havoc. It breaks hearts. It divides friends. It causes people to be holding grudges and to break fully from one another. I've noted before that the last days run in cycles. They get, it escalates, gets to the very limit, and then the Holy Spirit, if he's not ready for the end to come, he'll limit it there and often push it back. I don't think there's a more pertinent application or illustration of what it means these days for a sin to get to the limit, because with the use of social media and technology, words have gotten just about to the limit of evil, it would seem. It's as far as it can go, and hopefully that means the Lord's going to have mercy on us and bring salvation, but if it doesn't, it means he's not going to restrain it anymore, it's going to kill us. Let me end on a good word. The sins that are mentioned here by Paul to Timothy, to brace yourself, but you don't have to brace yourself against good words. And if the Lord turns back the current wickedness that is now in our land, there'll be fewer bad words. There'll be less reviling and less gossiping, less tale-bearing, less slander and blasphemy, because the Lord will go to the heart. There'll also be less movies made. And what movies are made will be more righteous. There'll be less riots, less anger. Currently, I mentioned social media. Social media giants right now are more apt to censor good words than to censor bad words. They'll let bad words pass and they'll block good words. Salvation will change that. Salvation brings a new heart and a new tongue. They're connected. And not that a Christian can't sin with a tongue. We know we can. But the mean words are driven by the unregenerate. So a righteous tongue is a healing tongue. You got anxiety? Proverbs 12:25, a good word makes it glad. Heaviness in the heart weighs a man down, but a good word makes it glad. A word spoken in due season, how good it is, Proverbs 15:23. The tongue of the wise brings healing, Proverbs 12, 18. When I was young, I was probably 7 or 8 years old, 6 maybe. I don't remember. I remember talking to my mom one day, and I said, Mom, and I was very upset. I said, what am I going to do when I grow up and my name is Scott? She said, what? I said, nobody who's an adult that I know of has the name of Scott. I don't know any Scots in adults. I didn't. I said, I have a kid's name. And what about when I grow up? And I was very upset. And if my mom was like the most people today, she'd say, oh, yeah, you're in bad shape. That's going to be terrible. She told me that Scott was a perfectly good name for an adult. That there were people who were adults named Scott, and I would be fine. So I got over it, and I've kept the name. And she, by her wisdom, comforted my unnecessary fears. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, Proverbs 16:24. Sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. They're not sour. I mean, you take those Pop-Tarts, they probably still have Pop-Tarts. Y'all like them? You see how Pop-Tarts? Draws your mouth up. But not the Word of God. It's sweet. There's sweet as a honeycomb. Bright eyes gladden the heart. Good news puts fat on the bones. Proverbs 15:30. It's healing and encouraging. The tongue is just as powerful for good as it is for evil. And to use the tongue to build people up and not tear people down, that lasts for eternity, where the wicked tongue is but for a moment. A righteous tongue is a thing of beauty. Proverbs 28, if you're still back in Proverbs. Proverbs 28:11. And it describes this, you know, it's kind of like, what is it speaking of, a lot of people would say. But it's like you would describe something that was really caught your eye. If we're watching a show, Cindy and I, and there's a pretty gun that comes on, you may know what I'm talking about. Somebody will have a weapon come in that, and I'll say, Cindy, I want one of those. I'd like one just like that. Because it, you know, is pretty. Proverbs 25. Verse 11, like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. It's pretty. I told you, I think once at least, that I got one of the greatest gifts for Christmas one year, and I used to give kids this, a Johnny 7 one-man army gun. Johnny 7 OMA. It had a grenade launcher. It had a machine gun. It had a pistol on it. It had all sorts of stuff. 7 weapons on it. Had a bayonet, I believe. And it was on TV. They showed guys with this thing. It was Rambo. I noticed Rambo didn't have one of these. But what we have is the real thing. We have the real gun. We have the real weapon. We have the real danger in our mouths. And like other things, it depends on who has it and how we use it. It depends on your heart. We are to turn our tongues for good, and it is so powerful it can do great good. If you're discouraged and someone encourages you, let me say, that is invaluable. And a lot of times you've got to get away from all the tearing down you hear in the world to save your soul from so much grief and anxiety. But when you get someone who comes along, and Dwight Stone has done this for me many times, my wife has done it for me many a time, where you're down and she says something and you're over it, or he said something and you're past it. That's the tongue. evil in the hands of, in the mouths of the wicked, but healing and good in the mouths of those who are saved. Let's pray. Lord, how good you are to make the source of a tongue of be one of righteousness with your people. We still must watch our words. But Lord, we can by your Spirit. I pray we would not be discouraged, that we would brace ourselves for all the reviling of our day and discouragement that comes. Some people wilt under it. May we be strong. In Jesus' name, amen.